Hi, I'm Justin Tinsley. You might know me from my work at Anscape, or as the author of a Biggie Smalls biography, or from my mostly victorious appearances on Around the Horn. So you're going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily for the near future. And guess what? I'm one of them. I'll be pitching in for the rest of the week, helping this pod do what it's always done. Tell the best sports stories in audio day in and day out. Hope you enjoy. Myron Metcalf, tonight UConn takes on San Diego State for the right to cut down the nets. The national championship, the big daddy of them all. But I saw your tweet going into the tournament. You wrote 12,000 words on this NCAA tournament, Phil. You submitted it. I would have had to take a sabbatical after submitting something like that. So you talked about it earlier on this very podcast. So between us writers, as we sit here at the end of a tournament that's been full of madness from the men and the women, how quickly did those 12,000 words meet the same fate as my bracket?
Yeah, I don't know how wise I looked about after the first round, you know, because there's been so much chaos. So I can tell you what I know. I can't predict what's going to happen. And I think that's never been more true in a tournament where fairly Dickinson beats Purdue. And I think the biggest upset ever, the top seeds don't get into the Elite Eight. So I don't think anyone could have predicted the chaos that we witnessed in that first weekend. I certainly did.
I know I did. I filled my bracket out on that Thursday. UVA lost, and I had them making it to the Sweet 16. I haven't gone back to look at my bracket since. It's better to be left in, you know, the dark corners of the internet where it is right now. So I completely, completely understand that. And just speaking about the zaniness of this tournament, no number one seeds making it to the Elite Eight for the first time ever. With the exception of UConn, there aren't any traditional blue blood programs in the Final Four. So I got to ask you this, Myron. What's the atmosphere like in Houston, and does it feel like a typical Final Four?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like last year's Final Four when you had Duke and Carolina and Kansas and Villanova.
No, for sure.
And just sort of this electricity in the air. I was talking to a couple of colleagues on Press Row after the first game with Florida Atlantic and San Diego State, and we both estimated that when we sat down for tip-off of that first game, that NRG Stadium was maybe 70% full. You just didn't have a full house, and that was sort of clear to see. I don't know if you can see it on TV. You could definitely see it in the building. At the same time, when Lamont Butler hits the buzzer beater, that was certainly one of those electrifying moments where it felt like, okay, this is the tournament, and this is one of those moments you hope for.
6 seconds to go. 5 seconds. Butler to the right wing with 3 seconds. Butler in the corner with 1 second. Hoists the jumper. It's good! It's good! Lamont Butler sends San Diego State to its first national championship game.
And then the second game was lopsided. UConn got off to that early lead and never took their foot off the gas. So I would say it doesn't feel like some of the bigger Final Fours I've been to. This is number 12 for me, but it still had its moments.
Absolutely. So I want to contrast that with what we saw up the road from Houston and Dallas, where the LSU Lady Tigers defeated Iowa to win the women's national title. You know, this comes on the heel of a remarkable Final Four. It hit milestone viewership levels for women's college basketball. And it really feels like this year there was just as much, if not more, buzz about the women's tournament than the men's. So I got to ask, does it feel that way to you?
I don't think it just feels that way. I just think that's what it is. You know, if you look at the teams in our Final Four, they're not home, you know, sort of household names. UConn, yes, they have a history and a legacy. San Diego State here for the first time. Florida Atlantic plays in a gym that seats 3,000 people. And a couple of years ago, they couldn't fill that up. They were getting about 1,400 fans a night. They're here. Miami reaching the Final Four for the first time. So this is a group of teams that, you know, you go, okay, is this something I want to watch? It's not that automatic buy-in. Whereas the women had Caitlin Clark, a generational talent, I think, one of the best players I've ever seen, has the energy and just sort of everything you'd want in a star player. You've got South Carolina, undefeated South Carolina, coming into the Final Four and everything they've achieved with Aaliyah Boston and Dawn Staley. Virginia Tech was maybe more of an unknown. I think this was their first number one seed, but LSU with Kim Mulkey. Everyone knows Kim Mulkey and Angel Reese transferring in from Maryland. So I think the women's Final Four had star power that the men's Final Four lacked.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think that's just the Final Four. I think the women's game has had a lot of stars, and the men's game is still trying to figure out who their stars are. We haven't had someone like Caitlin Clark, I don't think, since probably Zion Williamson. But that game has certainly been amplified by Caitlin Clark and some of her peers.
And yet it feels like on the men's side, we have everything we need for a great national championship. You just mentioned the buzzer beater from Butler in the semifinals that sent the Aztecs to the finals for the first time ever. So we have number four seed UConn. They're back in the national championship for the first time since 2014. And their face is San Diego State. So, Myron, top line, 30,000 feet in the air. What's at the heart of this matchup, and where's the intrigue in it for you?
Yeah, the intrigue in it for me is that most people expect UConn to win. The odds expect UConn to win. All the analysts expect UConn to win.
Yep.
If you look at the matchups and what UConn has done and just having these lopsided victories on their way here, it's easy to see why that's the case. But this has been a tournament where everything you expected to happen didn't happen. Purdue had Zach Edey, who's going to be the Wooden Award winner, who is one of the best players in America, and they couldn't beat Fairleigh Dickinson. A Fairleigh Dickinson team who, by the way, wasn't even supposed to be in the tournament. They didn't win their conference tournament championship. They lost to a team called Merrimack, which wasn't eligible because of NCAA rules about teams trying to qualify as a Division I team. So they send Fairleigh Dickinson, one of the worst tournament teams we've ever seen on paper. They beat Purdue. The number one seeds, as you've mentioned, didn't make it to the Elite Eight. So I guess the curiosity and intrigue for me is, are we going to see the unexpected again? Because on paper, not only should UConn win, I think they should win potentially by double digits like they won every other game. But this has just been an entire slate of games where everything you think you know, by the end of the game, you realize you didn't know as much as you thought.
Congrats if you somehow saw this national championship coming. Back in October, in the preseason AP poll, the San Diego Aztecs were ranked 19th. And the UConn Huskies, they couldn't even crack the top 25. But 5 months and a whole lot of tournament madness later, here we are. So today, Myron Metcalf is on the ground in Houston and tells us whether the UConn Huskies will take home their fifth national championship, or if the Aztecs of San Diego State can stun the world and end a tournament like no other with one last upset. I'm Justin Tinsley. It's Monday, April 3rd. This is ESPN Daily.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Myron. Let's start with the UConn side of things, if that's cool with you. It's odd to think of UConn as a Cinderella. And in fact, you, my friend, you told us not to because you rated them as a five-star team heading into this tournament. And you told us that the hype was real. So what have the Huskies been doing all tournament to get here to the national title game?
They've been good most of the year, you know, and I think they hit a weird stretch in the middle of the season where, you know, they went like 2-6. And a lot of people said, okay, this team isn't any good. But until that point, they were 14-0. I saw them in Portland in November around Thanksgiving when they played the Field Night Invitational. The Alabama team that was the number one overall seed, UConn beat them by 15 points. Then they beat an Iowa State team that had just knocked off then number one North Carolina. UConn has been rolling all year outside of that rough patch. So I think they've been doing a lot of the same things. They get out to these big leads. They've been playing really good defense, and they're just hard to stop. They have NBA size. They have NBA talent. And that's just the kind of team where they can beat you in multiple ways. They can pound it inside with Adama Sanogo, Donovan Klingon, who's one of the most impressive young players in the game. They've got shooters and Tristan Newton and Jordan Hawkins and Andre Jackson. They can also just play old school ball, Justin, like you're at the park and just run you off the court.
Facts.
And they've done that to a lot of teams. So I think the ways that they can win games, that is what separates UConn from everybody else. But they were a really good team throughout the year. But maybe people who stopped watching them after that rough spell didn't realize that this is who they've been most of the season.
You know, you mentioned Sanogo, and I want to zero in on him for a second. Because at a time, we're seeing big men stretch the floor, playing with more range and athleticism. I saw a clip earlier today of Wembanyama shoot a step back three and then get a put back dunk of his own. I don't know how that's possible. You can't even do that on 2K. But with Sanogo, like, this guy's just cleaning up underneath. He's doing it during Ramadan, might I add, meaning that, you know, this is he's an observant Muslim. He's been fasting between sunup and sundown. So how do you describe this performance from him?
Well, first, you got to stand next to him. And when you stand next to him, Justin, you realize you're standing next to a dude who's built like a Game of Thrones character. Like that's not a dude you want to upset. Physically, he makes big guys look small. And that's what he's done all tournament. To do what he's doing during Ramadan, the level of focus that must demand, the level of discipline that must demand, I can't imagine. But he is, to me, the most important player on the floor. Like, he's the reason UConn can play the way that they want to play, because they have this incredible force inside who is going to take whoever your biggest, baddest player is. You're going to have to meet their biggest, baddest player. And their guy, to me, is usually going to win, and that's Sanogo. But you look at what he's capable of doing against Miami. He hit a couple threes in the first half. Like, what do you do with that? He's this traditional big. You realize pretty early that you're going to have a long night. But he's more than sort of an enforcer. He's been the guy that they can count on to get the rebounds, to really crash the offensive glass, to be a force inside. And then you let the four other guys on the floor kind of go to work. But he's just been remarkable. And what he's doing during this time is nothing short of amazing.
So what about the guy that's from the family that's really synonymous with college basketball? I'm talking UConn head coach Dan Hurley. He's bringing his family back into the national championship spotlight. If we remember, his brother, Bobby Hurley, led Duke to three Final Fours and back-to-back national titles in the early 90s. So how has Hurley's leadership gotten the most out of this Huskies program throughout the tournament?
So I worked TV at the Phil Knight Invitational. So I did, it was the Alabama game. Around Thanksgiving, and UConn beat Alabama. At halftime, there was some sort of skirmish, you know, some sort of like pushing and shoving. And you could see Dan Hurley being the old Dan Hurley. Like, that's an emotional family. You know, everyone knows that about
that. That is very true.
And
very
you could just see it kind of seeping out of his pores, just the emotion in that moment. And the knock against Dan Hurley was, is he going to cost his team with his emotion? Like, is he going to be in a situation where he picks up a technical foul, he loses focus, you know, he does something that forces his team to lose focus, or is he going to be able to stay calm? I think what's been remarkable about Dan Hurley is that he's been able to maintain his composure during some of the most critical moments of this season. Like, there's resurgence, if you will. I mean, they've lost just two games since January 25th. A lot of that has been about the makeup and demeanor of Dan Hurley. He'll tell you, Justin, the dude has more talent than most teams, right? Like, at the end of the day, well, you got Andre Jackson, who's a pro. Adama Sanogo is one of the best players in America. Donovan Klingon at 7'2" is coming off your bench.
Yeah.
He's going to be a first-round pick whenever he decides to leave. It's easier, right? But I think demeanor means a lot. His team is feeding off of his confidence, feeding off of sort of the vibe he's presented. And he's not the old Danny Hurley anymore, man, where you're like, When is he going to pick up his first tech? He's definitely changed his vibe a lot. And I think you can see that affecting his team in a positive way.
All right, Myron. So if UConn is to win tonight, if they do cut down the nets, how does that happen?
They're going to do the same thing they've been doing. They're going to build up an early lead, and they're going to dare you to figure it out. I mean, San Diego State isn't a good offensive team. So if you put them in a 15-point hole, that's more like a 45-point hole for them because they just don't have the offensive pieces to make that up. So I just think UConn comes out. Sanogo's active around the offensive glass. They get second chance points early. They're scoring in transition. It's like one of those things where you're confident going into the first round of the fight, but by the third round against UConn, you're like, maybe I shouldn't have taken this fight, right? Like, maybe I should have done something else with my night. Like, that's just the kind of team they are, the way they blitz you. And I think that's just what they'll do. They don't have to change anything that they've done to this point. And I just don't think they will, because they're just that good.
Coming up, how the real Cinderella can pull off an upset tonight.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Okay, Myra, so when we look at the path that Alabama had, you know, the Crimson Tide, one of the favorites coming into this tournament, you pointed out that San Diego State was going to be one of the tougher matchups in that region. And look what happened. The Aztecs beat the Crimson Tide, and they beat everybody else they faced thus far. So, Myron, what are the Aztecs' chances to be the second team in the last half century to win a title after making their first Final Four appearance?
That's a good question. I mean, again, I've decided to expect the unexpected in this particular tournament. But this is a different task, you know what I mean? This is the final boss in the video game. And as good as you've been to this point, it's a different thing. San Diego State has been the best defensive team in America for the last couple of months, so I knew that. Like, I knew this San Diego State team defensively could hold its own. And when you stand next to those guys, Justin, it's a bunch of grown men.
Indeed.
You know what I mean? Like, it's a bunch of dudes who've been eating protein shakes and creatine and been in the weight room for 3-4 years, right? Like, you can see that. But UConn is sort of that and more. But I think they can make it ugly, which is what they'll do. I think they're going to try to slow it down and really just make it difficult for UConn to feel comfortable. You know, try to press them to force sort of awkward shots. They're going to try to stop them from running. Because if UConn runs, the game's over. I think they're going to try to get Adama Sanogo into foul trouble, try to take him out of the game. So I think they're going to say, you know what, I'm going to make it ugly. I'm a big boxing guy, which is why I always use boxing references. But like Bernard Hopkins would kind of hold you, throw punches here and there, and people hated his style.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? He won. And I think that's how San Diego State is thinking. They don't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be pleasing on the eye for fans. They just got to win a national championship. So I think that will be their attempt.
And, you know, sticking with San Diego State, Take me inside the final seconds of San Diego State's win over fellow surprise Florida Atlantic, because I just couldn't believe how that happened. A game winner in the Final Four. You're a legend forever when that happens, correct?
Oh, forever. I mean, he's never going to pay for a meal. And that's the kind of thing where I don't care what kind of pro career he has overseas or what he ends up doing. You move right back to San Diego, around the campus. They'll have a job for you. You're going to be set for life, right?
Yep.
But the cool thing about that shot, because I was right there. It was right in front of me. The San Diego State family section was next to me, too. So, like, I'm watching his family kind of go crazy throughout the game. And you're just seeing the emotions, man, of everybody. His father's over there. You know, obviously a lot of people who are affiliated with the program. And they're just going through it for 40 minutes. And now you've got 7 seconds on the clock. He raises up and he hits the shot. And it was just sort of one of those moments where you're like, did I just see that?
It's Butler with 2 seconds. He's got to put it up. He wins it with the jumper. A San Diego State miracle.
It was amazing to be in that moment. And it erased really would have been a lot of ugly basketball in that game.
Yeah.
People forget about that. But the shot was poetic, and it's going to make him a legend no matter what happens in the national championship.
A game winner is always going to be exciting. And a game winner in the Final Four is always going to be exciting. But San Diego State had to come back. They were down 14 at one point. So if that happens tonight, can they pull off another comeback?
No. Yeah, this is not Florida Atlantic, right? And nothing against Florida Atlantic. They had a remarkable story or a remarkable run. But UConn is like you going from a really difficult math class to AP trigonometry, right? Like, it's just a different thing. And their size is different. And when you talk to coaches who face them, they're like, it's hard to prepare for them. Like, Justin, you got to make a trade or something to prepare for them. Like, can you give up a first-round pick to maybe get a couple of veterans on the trade market? Because if it's just your dudes against theirs, you're going to be at a disadvantage in every single way. And I think that, to me, is the challenge. If San Diego State gets down, they're not the kind of offensive team that can close that gap. What they can do, I think, is make it a low-scoring game, try to keep it within no more than 7 points, and then maybe down the stretch, you go on a little run or you have a chance. But if this gets out of hand early and they take a big lead, UConn's going to get it done. And I think it'll be clear pretty early that UConn's going to be your next national champion in that scenario.
All right, Myron. I think I already know the answer to this because you kind of alluded to it in previous answers. Who's winning it all tonight?
Yeah, I think it's UConn, and I think it's UConn by double digits. I was there for the last couple of UConn championships, and I think it's going to happen again. The Kemba Walker run happened in the same building, by the way. So they won in 2011, also in Houston in the same building. I think they'll celebrate another championship in that building again. Ray Allen and Kemba Walker, all those guys were there in the building. On Saturday, my guess is they'll all come up on the court after UConn wins again. But I like San Diego State. Great story. They should be proud. But I just think UConn's playing at a level that nobody can match.
Myron, this is your 12th national championship, I believe. Enjoy yourself down there. This was an honor and privilege getting to talk to you. Thank you for your time, my brother.
Thank you, man. Proud of all the work you're doing, man. You're inspiring people more than you know.
I take that to heart, brother. Thank you so much. I'm Justin Tinsley. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.